powerful song. And we really are glad that you are here. Thank you for being here this morning. And thank you for those of you who are joining us online. We are so grateful for you. And we want you to know we really do care about you. We care about you who show up here, those of you who are showing up online. And here's how one way that we want to express that we are grateful for you is that every week our team takes time to pray for any of those requests that come in. So whether you're in the room or you're online, grab your phone and text PRAY to 401-496-9710. You text that and then reply to that link that comes up, and that will allow us to be able to pray for you in very specific ways. And let me say this, if there's something going on, you have some kind of need in your life right now, we want, it's our heart to come alongside of you. And if there's some way that we can help meet a need that you have, then you just let us know through that prayer, and we'll do everything that we can on our part to come alongside of you and help meet that need. Well, we are in this teaching series called The Word, and it's about loving the Word. It's about learning the Word, which then helps us to love the Word even more, but it actually brings about life change. In fact, here's the question that I want us to think through, to process this morning, and that is this. Have you ever wondered, is it possible for my life to really change? Have you ever wondered that? And I'm not talking about, you know, your hair style or your hair color, or, you know, you change the style of your clothing. I'm not talking about that kind of change. I'm talking about the deep change that happens inwardly. I'm talking about character change. Is it possible? Have you ever wondered, have you ever found yourself in a rut like I have? That I see this pop up in my life and I say, I can't believe it's this again. Why this? How come this isn't changing? God, show me what is it? How do I bring about change of this in my life? I found this article from a psychologist. His name is Dr. Tom Bruner. And he wrote 10 character flaws that can derail even good people. And he lists, actually, he has a whole bunch, but he's only talking about 10 of them here. I'm not going to take the time to read all 10. But just to give you an idea of even, here's a psychologist who is saying there's some character flaws in good people that can derail you. The first one that he talks about is the idea of just being envious. He says, you are not truly happy for others' success. In fact, he says you work hard to keep up, quote unquote, with others on a material level. And then he talks about defensiveness. We've all worked with that person, right? You can't say anything to them and they're so defensive about everything. They can't take any kind of correction or criticism. He goes on to talk about people who are aloof. He says, if you come off as cold or distant, you're not going to be trusted. He talks about that person that's volatile, emotionally volatile. Oh, come on, right? We all know that person. We try and steer way far away from them because we don't know how they're going to react. We tiptoe around them because they're like a volcano that could erupt at any time. That's a character issue. He talks about having the character issue of just being entitled. He says, you believe you deserve everything that you want. He talks about unreliable character, that you are unpredictable, not trusted, or confided in. Eagerness to please. This psychologist chalked up that as a character flaw, that you have this eagerness to please, and he describes it like this. He says, you are more of a pleaser than an honest communicator. Does that show up in your life? What about moral? He names one of them. He says, morally scrupulous. That person just finds fault with every person. Every person that's out there, they can find why something's wrong with that person or something that they did. That's a character issue. Does that pop up in your life? have you, maybe it goes, maybe this isn't just about your life. Maybe something has popped up in your life and you're like, I promised I would never do that to my wife. Or I would never do that to my husband. Or I would never do that to my kids. You see, that comes from the family that we grew up in. That comes from what we saw modeled in our household. You know, you had promised yourself you would never react like that, and then you reacted just how you saw that modeled in your life. Psychologists call that a family cycle. They call that generational, that it's passed down from one generation to the other because it's just what you saw modeled in your home. And I'm the first one to say that we all, me, Rick Moore, carries that kind of thing into my own relationships. And I had an amazing home. My dad is my hero. But there were things that I learned in my home by just watching and growing up that I needed to deal with and break the cycle. There are things that pop up in my own life that I have to say, where is that coming from? Why can't I seem to break it? And aren't there things in your life that you struggle with? Aren't there things that continue to pop up and you think, you don't want to do that, but you do it anyway. It's how do we experience change? And so here's our bottom line for today. We experience life change when we encounter God through His Word. Here's why. Here's why we experience life change when we encounter God through His Word. It's because the Word has the power to break cycles that we get stuck in, whether it's your immediate past or whether it's generational. Now, I don't know what kind of cycle that needs to be broken in your life, what kind of habit needs to be broken in your life, but I do know there's hope for you, there's hope for me, and we find it in God's Word. So take your Bibles and let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We're going to see it in the life, in the story of Josiah. You won't want to miss this. So take your Bibles, open them up. If you have a Bible app on your phone, go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Understanding that Chronicles is just what it says. It's all Chronicles is chronicling the kings and the Jewish and the history of the Jewish people way back into the Old Testament. So this goes back thousands of years, actually. This goes back, and we're talking about the history of the Jewish people, and they are chronicling the lives of the kings and even the life of the people, the culture of their time. So we get this little snapshot, as we see in verse number 31, about this guy, this kid named Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what is right. Now, I highlighted his ancestor David because I thought it was interesting that the author of this had to point back all the way back to his ancestor David. Do you know, in round numbers, we're talking 300 years. That's how far this historian had to write down to connect him to someone who was godly, to someone who actually had a heart after God, someone who was actually following God. Now, there were some good kings somewhere in between that 300 years, but none that could compare to King David. And David, they bring up David and they connect Josiah all the way back to David. Do you know what this means? This means that Josiah's father wasn't living like this. This means that Josiah's grandpa wasn't living like this. In fact, his grandfather, because Josiah's father only reigned for 2 years, that was it, and then he was assassinated. And then his grandfather, though, reigned for 50 plus years. for 50 plus years. And look, let's look and see how the life of Grandpa, of Josiah, how he is summarized. I'll just go back a couple of chapters in chapter 33. Manasseh was his grandfather. That's who Josiah's grandfather was. Manasseh also sacrificed his own sons in the fire to these gods. I mean, can you imagine somehow Josiah's dad escaped that some way, somehow, right? He stayed away from dad when he was angry, right? So he escaped that, but he practiced sorcery, divination, witchcraft, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. This is the way that king ruled for 50 plus years. So for a decade, one decade after another, that's the culture that Josiah was growing up in. That's the culture of the people that they were used to living in for years when Josiah takes over. Now think about that. And then something happens. Somewhere along the line, back in our text in chapter 34 and verse number 3, during the eighth year of his reign, meaning Josiah's reign, while he was still young, so he's like 16 years old, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor, David. Think about this. Somewhere along the line, in a young person's heart and mind, he began to look around in the culture that he was growing up in and thought, there's no real satisfaction here. You know, my grandpa said, yeah, follow any God that you want. Follow any practice that you want. Do whatever makes you feel good or feel right. But Josiah, as he grew up in that, he's like, there is no real satisfaction here. There's no real peace, inward peace. I'm missing something. And he goes on this journey to discover what his culture had lost. And that was a relationship with God, Yahweh. You see, what Josiah discovered were the very words that Jesus spoke. Remember when Jesus said this? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Josiah discovered the truth of that statement in his relationship with God, because somewhere along the way, he found freedom. He was set free from a generational cycle that had continued for years, and he broke free from that. And it's possible for you to break free from that as well. And students, I want to come back to this. While he was still young, you know, it's the heart of our church to pour in to kids ministry, to pour into student ministry. That's the heart of our church. Why? Because this is the heart of God. God wants to call you while you're still young. And you know, our church, we believe that God uses young people. We believe that to deep in our soul, we believe that. Why? Because God believes in you. He believes in every young person that's listening here, every young person that's online. I'm telling you, God believes in you, and he's calling you to seek him. And he will bring a satisfaction to you that our culture, you will never find living how our culture tells you to live. This type of satisfaction that you are missing out on, the type of peace when you go to bed at night and you lay your head down, you can sleep like a baby. That type of satisfaction, that type of peace is what I'm talking about. And that's what God is calling you to. And we believe that to the core of who we are at this church. That's why I love it when I walk in here and I see Bob Roy back there in the AV booth. He's training up some students. He's training up some college students how to run the AV booth. How to run that board back there. That's amazing. That's why it's amazing when we have students in that production room right over here, and they're learning how to run the production stuff so that we can actually get online. And sometimes when you walk in here, you'll see two high school girls running these two cameras. You know why? Because we believe that God uses young people today. You don't have to wait until you're an adult. He wants to use you right now, right where you're at. And let me tell you, online team, that we are getting messages. We just got a couple of notes last week about your online ministry, that which is part of what our students help us make do around here. And it's been a blessing. We got a letter from a family in Centerville, Maryland, who has been watching ever since we've been online. And it's because we have students who are willing to run the cameras. It's because we have students who are willing to learn the production. It's because we have students who are willing to run the AV. We were in a conversation with the elders and the staff just a short time ago. And in that conversation, when we were talking launching our multi-site, the very thing that we said was that we need 100 adults and teenagers. We're looking for 100. And students, we're including you in a part of that 100. We need you to help us launch that multi-site over there in Coventry off of 95. We need your help to do that. We believe in you. And God is calling you to serve him while you're still young. Look what happens. And then in his 12th year, so now he's around 20. When he's around 20, he began to purify Judah. So do you see what happens as he continues in this relationship, discovering who God is? He starts living differently. And what he does, it tells us, and what purify means, he starts destroying all the pagan shrines and the Asherah poles and the carved idols and the cast images, all those things that his grandfather put into place. He's getting rid of them. Why? Because he understands following God calls us to live differently than what the culture that he was growing up in. And then in verse 14, you don't miss this. Because part of this change that's happening, what he does is he starts doing this fundraiser for the temple that was in Jerusalem. He, because of his grandfather's following paganism and worshiping every other type of god there could be, what the temple had went into disarray. It started falling down around them. And so what Josiah does, because back then, in this time in history, the temple represented the place, the power and the presence of God. And Josiah says, we've got to do something about the temple. And so they go back. He gets this delegation to go there and to raise the money and start fixing up the temple. And look what happens when they're there doing that. It says, and while they were bringing out the money collected at the Lord's temple, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that was written by Moses. Whoa, what? Now this doesn't compute with us, right? Because how many Bibles do we have around our house? That's essentially what has happened. At this time in history, they didn't have a copy of the Bible. They didn't have a Bible app. There wasn't a printing press. No, they kept the Torah. They kept the scriptures with the Ark of the Covenant. And because of their pagan worship, all of that had gotten pushed aside. And they quit encountering God through his word. All of a sudden, the priest is in the temple. And as they're repairing it, he finds the scriptures. And it brings hope to them. It brings hope to them because this is how they understand that they can relate to God. They can get to know God. They can understand what God calls them and how God calls them to live differently. So Hilkiah gives the scroll. He hands it off to somebody in that delegation. Shaphan is his name. And he goes back to report in on all of what's happening at the temple and how they're getting it repaired and rebuilt. And then he unrolls the scroll and he reads from the scriptures. He reads the word of God, what they had of the scriptures, whether it was Deuteronomy, whether it's Numbers, Exodus, where, you know, no one's really for sure. There's all kinds of debate about this, but they are reading through the scriptures. And as this government official comes back and reads the scripture to Josiah, here is Josiah's response to that. When the king heard what was written in the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Think about that. Why would he, in their time in history, why would he tear his clothes? In their time in history, it was about repentance. That's what that they what tearing of their clothes was about, showing an outward sign of them of what was happening on the inward side, that they were sorry for the way that they were living. So Josiah rips his clothes. He's showing this act, this sign of repentance, that change has come, is coming, and that he's sorry for the way that he had lived. Now, I want to remind us that this is what God's Word does. But no, this came from the reading of the Scripture. And what the Apostle Paul does in Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul is talking about a husband-wife relationship and how a husband is to love his wife. Notice what he says here. For husbands, this means love your wives. And then he brings up the way that Christ loved the church. And when you hear the word church, think you. Put your name in there. Because church just means people. It means you and I. And so here he says, just as Christ loved the church, he, Jesus, gave up his life for her or for you. Again, this is why God is for you. To make her holy and clean, to make you holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Word. That's the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word reminds us that that Jesus has cleansed us. The work of the on the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that's what cleanses us and makes us this. He did this, the meaning Jesus, God, did this to present her, to present you, to present me to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, that you and I would be holy and without fault. Now, I don't know how many times you need to be reminded that you don't have to carry the shame and you don't have to carry the guilt from your past. Why? Because Jesus already took care of that. And this is the power of encountering God in His Word. It reminds us that we don't have to carry our shame and our guilt. Jesus already paid for that for you and I. You see the power of encountering God in His Word? This brings life change. And it was bringing life change to Josiah. Now, after that happened, back in our text, Josiah, he tells them, he says, I want you to go back to the temple and I want you to speak to the Lord for me. For all, and to speak to the Lord for me and for all of the remnant of Israel. And he says, inquire about the words written in the scroll that have been that has been found. You know, he's saying we need to go back and we need to dig into God's Word. We need to go back and learn more in God's Word. Why? Because he goes on to say, for the Lord's great anger has been poured out on us because of our ancestors have not obeyed the Word of the Lord. And we have not been doing everything that this scroll says that we must do. See, change happens, life change happens when we encounter God through His Word. And it's happening in Josiah's life, but not just his life, into the people that he was responsible for leading. It was happening in his circle of influence. Now, change is happening. So much so that Josiah, he calls for all the people. He calls for all the leaders of Israel. He says, I want you to show up at the temple. Why? Again, the preeminence of the temple in their day was representative of that was where God showed up. That was His presence. That was His power that showed up in that temple. It's different for us today because we have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. But back then, this is what the temple represented. And so he calls everybody for this meeting. And here's what he says if you slide down to verse number 31. And then the king took his place of authority. He's at the temple. He took his place of authority beside the pillar. And he renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. You see, the people of Israel had broken relationship. They had broken covenant with God. One decade after another. And God uses a teenager to bring reform back into a culture. To bring God back into a culture. where they had totally pushed him out. And he pledged, he promised, he committed to obey the Lord by keeping all of his commands and laws and decrees with all of his heart and soul. See, that's relational. Are you committed? Are you committed to your relationship with God like that? Where you would stand before a group of people and say, I'm committed to walking, doing my best. I'm not going to be perfect. Josiah definitely wasn't perfect. King David was not perfect. Many, many sinful mistakes. We will mess up, but we will do our best to be committed to living out God's word. And so, here's what happens. And so, Josiah, as a result of that commitment, Josiah removed all the detestable idols from the entire land of Israel and required everyone to worship the Lord their God. And throughout the rest of his lifetime, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their ancestors. I wonder about you. Is it time for you, Christ? I'm talking to the Christ followers in the room. Is it time for you to recommit your life to following God? And maybe if you're here, maybe you're not a Christ follower. Maybe you're listening online and you haven't given your life to Jesus. You haven't placed your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's your first step. And so, if you're here in this room, will you pull out your connection card? And in that connection card, there are some next steps that I want us to walk through, because we experience life change when we encounter God through His Word. So here's the first next step that's on your connection card. If you're online, you'll find a link for these next steps, and they'll be on that connection card, so you can click on that. And it says, pray for me. I need to commit to remove the things that are keeping me from encountering God through His Word. And I wonder, what is it in your life that's keeping you from encountering God through His Word? I know that probably none of us would say that there's idol worship in our life. But do you realize this? Anything that you put in the place of God in your life becomes an idol in your life, because you've placed it over God. And that's an idol. What's keeping you from connecting? What's keeping you from relating to God? Maybe you're like Josiah and you need to do some house cleaning in your own life. And get rid of some stuff, because it's keeping you, it's interfering in your relationship with God. Let us know, because we want to pray for you this week. Pray that you'll be able to really experience life change. The other step on there says, pray for me. I need to commit to read God's word on a daily basis. We experience life change when we encounter God through His word. Life change not happening in your life because you're not experiencing God. You're not experiencing life change because you're not encountering God through His word. You have to do this. For some of us, we just don't have the discipline in our life. Let's face it, some of us are just lazy. We're just not making it a priority. And it doesn't matter when you read your Bible. You can read your Bible in the morning, you can read it on your lunch break, you can read it at night, but you need to engage, you need to encounter the Scripture so that you can encounter God, so that life change can come to your life. There's something different about the Bible, that it's life breathing, it's life giving, and it brings hope. That's why there's life change. You can't experience life change if you're not reading your Bible. And then maybe for you, there's a cycle. There's a cycle in your life. Either it's personal with you, or maybe it is generational, or it's from the family that needs to be broken. And you would say, Rick, pray as I encounter God that I can see a breakthrough. Can I encourage you this morning? We're about ready to have a baptism. And this is the story of this couple's life. They have seen breakthrough. They've seen a cycle break in their life. There was addiction in their life, and now they can stand here and say that addiction has been broken. The cycle has been broken in their life. If you have some kind of addiction or some kind of habit in your life that is a cycle that you don't seem to be able to get rid of, we want to pray that you will be able to experience breakthrough this week as you encounter God in the Scriptures and you find freedom like Josiah found freedom. We want to pray for you. And if you can't, if you're online, you can't find that connection card, or if it's just easier for you just to take out your phone and text pray to that number that's on the screen, then just do that. Because our team really does care about you. And we will be praying for you this week as we gather. I want to pray for us right now. So Father, we come to you and we ask that every person, that I could experience breakthrough in my life. God, we are praying for breakthrough. There are people who have been in some, there's some kind of habit that continues to show up, and it comes out in the way they treat their family. God, we're asking that that would be broken because they have encountered you through the Scriptures. Father, we're praying for that person that has some kind of addiction. God, that they would be able to experience breakthrough this week because they have encountered you through your word. God, we are praying for more of you to be in us and less of us, because that's what needs to happen so that we can see the spiritual climate of Rhode Island change. Please, God, come and work like that in and through us. And we pray this, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen.